This is right before Christ's crucifixion. He'd be crucified the next day. And they had the Lord's Supper. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's the last time he's able to talk to them before he dies. He'll talk to them later. But he's explaining a lot of things throughout 13, 14, 15, 16. 17 is his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you see that they had the Lord's Supper. Judas went out. He talks about being a servant. He gives that illustration. He washes their feet. He tells them that he's going to go away. They head out towards the Mount of Olives. We don't know really where they were at for the Lord's Supper, where the upper room was. But they went out, and it seems that in chapter 14 they go. And as they go along the way, Jesus gives this illustration of the vine and the branches. And remember, this is about springtime, and perhaps there's a lot of vineyards in Israel. Perhaps they could see the vineyards. Perhaps they were beginning to grow fruit. I don't really know, and I guess we don't really know. But perhaps as they go along, you might picture that in your mind as Jesus gives an illustration, and he can point right there. Here's a vine. Here's some branches. But this is what it says. Let's read it. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What are you producing? I guess that would be my title. What are you producing? Here's a proposition. If we're going to glorify the Lord, we have to be producing fruit. We have to be producing or bearing fruit. He gives the illustration of the vine and the branches. I did a little bit of research on trees and how they get their nutrients. And maybe I didn't go super in depth, but there are some interesting things about trees and how they grow. Plants need water, right? We all know that. We've got to water our plants. They need water. This is essential in creating nutrients. They've got to have water. The water is absorbed through the root hairs, and they're really small, which gives them a greater surface area, so they can absorb more water. And they go up the tree through the xylem. And the xylem takes water straight up, and it goes to the leaf. Now, from the ground through the root hairs, the water is evaporated through the leaves. And because of the cohesive nature of water, meaning water likes to stick together, you know, that's why we have water droplets. The cohesive nature of water, when it evaporates, it sort of pulls the water like a chain. So it pulls the water up from the roots, up through the tree to where it needs to be at the leaf. The process of evaporation essentially pulls the water upward like a chain. Now, so plants need water that comes up from the xylem. And plants also need carbon dioxide, right? Where does it get carbon dioxide? Well, the plants absorb the needed carbon dioxide from the air on the plants, the underside of the leaf. So there's two things. Plants need water. Plants need carbon dioxide. Also, plants need something else. They need sunlight, right? Sunlight. The other two are really useless without sunlight. The plant has no way of changing those into the energy that it needs to grow. So plants use sunlight to transform the water and the carbon dioxide into glucose, which is the energy to grow. It moves the glucose and the amino acids up and down the phloem. Perhaps you already know that, but I thought it was interesting to read about it, and we'll kind of come back to that a little bit, because Christ gives us illustration of some things that we need. Well, we're like a branch in the vine. So I have five things here, And really, my outline is just outlining the passage. For instance, verses 1 through 3 is the illustration that Christ gives. And then verses 4 through 6 is the instruction he gives to the disciples. Verse 7 is the invocation. I use invocation to stick with the eyes. It just means the plea, the prayer. And then number 4 is the increase, and that's verse 8. And then lastly, our conclusion we call implications, the implications. So number 1, the illustration. We'll just read through it. First here we see, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. As you see up here, the Father is the husbandman in the illustration. And Jesus, or Christ, is the vine. Christ is the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, what are the branches? Christians are the branches. Christians are the branches. So, this only applies to you if you're saved. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But that's what we need first. We need to be in Christ. If we're not in Christ at all, we're not saved. Christians are the branches. And now he gives us, there's two types of branches. There is here the non-fruit-bearing branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we have non-fruit-bearing branches. And then secondly, we have fruit-bearing branches. Kind of basic. But there's two types of branches. And every one of us, if we're saved, we're one of these kinds of branches. Now, what happens to the branches? Well, the non-fruit-bearing branches, it says in verse 2, he taketh away. They're removed. The non-fruit-bearing branches are removed. Now we talked about there's two types of branches. Before we go further, I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to analyze our own selves here. Be a little introspective. We're one of these two kinds of branches. Either we're fruit-bearing or we're non-fruit-bearing. Those are the two options. And as I look at my own self, you know, I feel like, as it says in Revelations, thou hast a little strength. We could do more, right? We could be more fruitful. Are we bearing fruit at all? Is there evidence in your life? Take a look at yourself. Is there fruit in my life that I'm a Christian? Am I showing evidence that I've been with Christ as the disciples had? The non-fruit-bearing branches are removed. They're removed. You know, if something's in motion, it tends to stay at motion, right? And if something's at rest, it tends to stay at rest. And it's the same way for us as Christians. Be careful, if you're sitting on the shelf, you probably won't be used. It's interesting as you look in the Bible and throughout history, the people who God used, they were already doing stuff. They were already busy doing something. God calls someone to be a missionary somewhere. Well, they're already in a church. They're already serving, or they're already doing something for the Lord before God uses them in another way. It doesn't just happen all at once. They have to be bearing fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, it says here that they're removed. They're removed. Now, dead branches will be removed. Now, what happens to the fruit-bearing branches? Let's see. What do I have up there? Yes, they're pruned. It says they're pruned. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. There it is. That it may bring forth more fruits. So, if we are bearing fruit, God is in the process, the husbandman, in the process of pruning us. Pruning is taking away stuff. As we abide in Christ, that's where we get our nutrients. But the husbandman, God, comes along and prunes us. So, why does he prune us? What's the reason? Well, so that we can become more fruitful. As we abide in Christ, we're going to bear more and more fruit because God is going to be pruning us so that we can become more fruitful. Now, what's the process? What's the process of this? Well, if you look at verse 3, it says, now you are clean. That word clean is the same word as purgeth. It's the same idea. You're clean, you're purged, you're pruned. How? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Yeah, I believe that's the same word. Now, how are they cleaned? It's by the Word of God. The Word of God is what does the pruning. It's what cleans us. So here's the illustration, number one. Are we being pruned? You ever realize in your life that, you know, God's pruning me right now? I hope so. If that is true, that's a good sign. That means you're bearing fruit. And it means He's pruning you so that you can bear more fruit, like Hebrews tells us. Remember where he says that the Lord chastens those whom He loves? I felt that, and I've felt that a lot recently. And while it can be discouraging, it's a good thing because it means at least you're bearing fruit to some degree, and God wants to bear more fruit in your life, so He needs to prune you. We need to submit to that. Is God's Word instructing us? Is He changing us? If it's not changing us, be careful. You might not be bearing fruit, and that's not good because what happens? The dead branches are removed. So are we finding that there's more fruit in our lives? As we go along, is there more fruit? Or is it kind of just, you know, this is the way I am, and I've always been this way? That's not good. That's not the process that God has designed for us Christians. So we have an illustration. He gives us an illustration. Now, Christ gives us some commands here. He gives some instruction in the next part. Number two, verse four, look at verse four. Number two, the instruction, verse four, it begins, "Abide in me," he says, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So he gives a command. He says, abide in Christ and Christ in you. What's the reason that he gives? What's the reason? Well, he says here that you can't bear fruit unless you're in Christ. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So what's the reason? We can't bear fruit unless we're in Christ. Reading God's Word in prayer. Those are essential things as a Christian, right? We would all say that's essential. Reading the Bible doesn't make you abide in Christ. It doesn't. Someone who's not saved can read the Bible, but you can't abide in Christ without reading the Bible. You can't do it. It's like, Nate, why do you harp on reading the Bible? Why do you harp on reading the Bible? Because, like that tree, if you don't have the water, or if you don't have the CO2, or if you don't have the light, if you don't have one of those things, you can't produce the nutrients that you need. And as a Christian, if you don't have God's Word, you won't grow. You'll be a dead branch. We've got to be in God's Word, not just a few times in a day, not just, in a week. A few times in a day, that would be great if we could do that. A lot of times, one time in a day to meditate on God's Word. But, on the other hand, reading the Bible doesn't make you abide in Christ. Now, you can't abide in Christ without reading the Bible. But the other hand here, we have prayer. Prayer doesn't make you abide in Christ either. Talking to God doesn't make you abide in Christ. But you can't abide in Christ without praying. It's impossible. So we need to have those things, but those things are not enough. It's kind of like that tree illustration we talked about before. These are essential things to our growth, to us bearing fruit, like water and CO2. But water and CO2, the raw materials, are no good without sunlight. They need the light of life to convert that into the energy it needs to be fruitful. And it's the same thing with reading our Bible and praying. I do it every day. Does that make you close to God? Does that make you abide in Christ? Not necessarily. Man is dust without the breath of life, right? There's something else that needs to happen. The tree must have light to convert these materials into growing properties. Likewise, we have to have the power of the Spirit to energize us when we read the Scriptures, energize the Word of God in our prayers. Perhaps that's not the best word, energize. I think you know what I mean. We need the power of God to illuminate His Word and to help us as we pray and to change us. So that's kind of like our water, CO2, and our light. We've got to have all three. You got to have all three. And He says, you need to abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you can't bear fruit. And if we don't do these things here, we can't bear fruit. So we have to have the power of the Spirit. What does it mean to have the power of the Spirit? Well, first, you have to be saved, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. I don't take it for granted that everyone in our church, even if they come faithfully, that they are saved. Sometimes I do, it's true, but I don't, and I have good reason, because my dad was in church. He was a deacon in the church. I don't know, maybe it was a failure on the church's part. Maybe it was just my dad showed a good talk and walked a good walk. He wanted to be a Christian. He wore a suit. He learned the language. He did what he was supposed to do. He made a prayer when he was 18 years old, but he wasn't saved, and he was a deacon in a church, and it seemed like every message, he was, the pastor was taking a bow and shooting him, talking about salvation. Every message is a message on salvation, but he wasn't saved, and he realized, as a deacon, you know, there's a lot of, I can't get saved as a deacon now. That wouldn't look good. I'm supposed to be spiritual. But he realized that he was lost, and if he did not accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, he would die and go to hell. He knew it. He knew it from the Word of God and the conviction that the Holy Spirit had in his life. If you're not saved today, if you don't really know Jesus Christ, it's not a prayer, it's not come to church, it's not reading your Bible, it's something more than that. You must believe you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for you. He rose again. You choose to repent of your sins. Instead of the sins, you want God. God is your master. I'm going to follow God. And you ask him to save you, and he says he will. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to be saved. No. But we need to choose God. Choose God. Choose to follow God. So we have to be saved if we're going to be filled with the Spirit or have the Spirit in our life. And we have to be seeking. Seeking. That's essential. It's listening and desiring to know what God wants to teach you. You know, that's not necessarily laying on your face. That's not raising your hands in the air. That's, you know, maybe it involves those things. Seeking the Lord is not a physical thing. It's what happens right here. It's the wanter. It's the desire. It's what you set your mind to, because of what you choose to do, and that you need the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. I need to know what he wants me to do. I need to understand his word. We have to be seeking. If we're going to be led of the Spirit, we need to be seeking. We have to be saved. We have to be seeking. We need to be serving. What is serving? Serving is obeying. Just do what he says to do. Be led of the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us. Be led of the Spirit. That's what we need. If we're going to abide in Christ, we need to be in his word. We need to be praying. It's not enough. We need to be led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? You need to be saved. You need to be seeking. You need to be serving the Lord. And as we walk in the Spirit, in communion, through prayer and God's Word, we're in God's Word. He reveals things to us. As it says in verse 3, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. God will prune you. And if you look at the end of verse 4, or excuse me, let's look at the whole verse of verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. God will prune us. We will bear fruit, and then we'll bear much fruit. So we're talking about here Christ's instruction. He says, abide in Christ and Christ in you. Now, conversely, we have the other side here. Don't abide in Christ. He's not telling them not to abide in Christ, but he's saying, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Let me read verse 5. That goes with verse 4, and I should have read it before. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We can't do anything without Christ. And as we abide in him, we bear more fruit. Now, if we don't abide in Christ, what happens? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So, here we go. What's the reason for not abiding in Christ? What does it say here in the passage? It doesn't give a reason, does it? It doesn't. What logical reason could there be for not abiding in Christ? Well, there is no logical reason for not abiding in Christ. There's no logical reason, because Christ died for us. We should be indebted to him. We want to serve him. We should love him. There's logic is on the side of abiding in Christ. So if there's no logical reason, what other reason could it be than depravity, than wickedness, than our flesh getting in the way? It's not logic. It's It's the flesh. That's the problem. He doesn't give a reason because there's no good reason. But he does tell us what the result will be. He says, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The result, you'll be cast forth, withered, men will throw you into the fire. A fruitless branch is not useful to God, right? It's not useful to God. I mean, if we have things that aren't useful in our lives, what do we do with them? Well, if they're still decent materials, maybe we'll give them away. But most of the time, we throw things away, right? We don't keep trash around our house. That's why we have a transfer station. If we did keep trash around our house, we'd have some problems. It would look bad, that's one thing, but it would smell bad, and there would be a lot of bad consequences. Likewise, God can't just keep bad branches around. It makes a mess. You've seen it, the dead branches on trees. We need to clean it up. He needs a good vine and good branches. And if the branch is useless, or if it's not useful, God has no need for it. And it's removed. If we're causing problems in the church and not helping the church, that's kind of like being a dead vine. We need to fix that. That doesn't mean we need to get people out of the church. Sometimes it has to come to that, sadly. But it's because we need to fix what's wrong. Fix what's wrong. The result we talked about. In Christ is life. Outside of Christ is death and destruction. That is just the process. Now, so we talked about number one, the illustration. Number two, the instruction. Number three is the invocation. The invocation, the plea, the prayer. Look at verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So what are the requirements here? We must abide in Christ, and his words abide in us. If this is true, what's the result? He makes it very plain. He says, ask what you will, and it will be done. That's what he says. Now, Scripture says many things about prayer. We hear this verse, and we say, well, yes, that's true, but this and this and this and this and this. You can't just pray and expect God to answer your prayers. That's a little naive. Well, God does say much about prayer. Here's a few things. And there may be more, but this is most of them. God says, I will answer your prayers if you ask. Matthew 7 tells us, ask, seek, knock. It'll be open. I'll answer. James 2 tells us the same thing. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. Ask so that you can receive. So God will answer prayers if you ask him. He'll answer your prayers if you ask in Christ's name. Now, that doesn't mean at the end of your prayer you tag on in Jesus' name or in Christ's name. That's not praying in Christ's name. Sometimes we like to think of it that way. But that means we're praying with Christ's authority. We're praying on his behalf. We have his signature on that prayer. It's according to his will. We have his backing. We're praying in Christ's name. John 14 tells us about that. 1 John 5 says we need to ask according to God's will. It tells us if we ask anything according to his will, we need to ask in God's will. James 1, ask in faith. You're not going to receive if you don't ask in faith, James says. Mark 9 tells us, remember the disciples, they couldn't cast out the demon. And they said, Lord, why can't we do it? It says, this only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. Maybe fasting is required for some things, as Scripture indicates. So these are some things. God says, if you do these things, these are some of the, we might call them requirements to having your prayers answered. If you ask, I'll answer. If you ask in Christ's name, if you ask according to God's will, if you ask in faith, if you fast and pray. That's what he says in different passages. Now, he also tells us that he won't answer our prayers if, number one, if you don't ask. James 2, he says, if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. You have not because you ask not. If you are asking for your flesh's sake, for yourself, you know, James 2, you have not. Why? Because you ask amiss. Because you want to consume it upon your lust, he says. He says, I'm not going to answer that prayer. He won't answer the prayer if there's iniquity in our heart, Psalm 66. If you do not have a biblical relationship with your wife, he says, I'm not going to answer your prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us. So, a lot of things in Scripture talks about prayer. How we will and how we won't answer our prayers based on these things. And I submit that all of this can perhaps be summarized or could be said in the statement, abide in me, and my words abide in you. Obviously, we need to have these things in check. But if we're abiding in Christ, we're in prayer and in His Word, His Spirit is teaching us and guiding us. We're changing. He's pruning us. We're bearing more fruit. All of these things are going to line up. And He says, I'm going to answer your prayer. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Ask what you will. It says here, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So, we have a promise from God. This is the invocation, number three. Number four, the increase. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified. When we bear fruit abundantly, God is glorified. Have you missed it? My memory serves me correctly. My brother-in-law, before they were married, and he was in college, my oldest brother, my oldest sister, my oldest brother-in-law, he was in college, and it was break, probably Christmas break. He was at our house, and it was getting close to the end of break, and so he had to look and double-check his flight when it was going to go out so he'd go back to school. I think he was an RA or an ARA, so he had to be back early. So he double-checked, he looked at it, and it was a lot sooner than he thought. And in fact, he looked at it. There's no way he could make it to his flight. It was that day, I believe, and we lived in Stratton, and it's, 2 hours to Augusta, and then it was just a long ways away. And so he missed it. That was embarrassing. I think that year, after that time, we also had the power go out for 3 days, and so that extended it. But anyhow, he missed it. He missed his flight. That's an embarrassing thing, and I've had my share of embarrassing things, and it doesn't seem to stop sometimes. It's like, you forget something. It's like, I was supposed to have that paper ready, or I was supposed to say this, or I was supposed to do this, or I should have done it this way, or, you're working on a project, and I should have done that first before I put this together, or whatever. We make mistakes. You miss it. You forget. It's like, I missed it. That was my chance. But similarly, though that can be pretty embarrassing, we scold ourselves to say, I'm going to get a tighter grip on things, get together, get organized, let's write it down, we'll get it together. That's great. That's the way it should be, right? But far worse than these menial things, I missed a flight. Okay, it's money, it's embarrassing, and you keep people waiting. That's a problem. Not good, but far worse is to live your life and realize at the end, you missed it. You missed the whole purpose of life. You missed it. You missed the purpose for which God gave you life. And what is it? Well, it's what we've been talking about. It's bearing fruit. He says, herein is my Father glorified. That's the purpose of our life. Herein is my Father glorified. How? That you bear much fruit. The only way to do that, he tells us in verse 5, you've got to abide in Christ. Without Him, you can do nothing. We have to be in His Word. We have to be in prayer. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be led of the Spirit, saved, seeking, serving. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't waste it. Everyone is able to do these things. It doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter whatever, I didn't do very well and whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Every one of us can do this. Every one of us needs to do this. And remember, if we are that dead branch, we'll be removed. So, he says here that if we are going to glorify the Lord, we have to bear fruit abundantly. If we bear fruit abundantly, God will be glorified. The second part of verse 8 says, so shall ye be my disciples. Let me back up. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Bearing much fruit is a mark, is the mark of a true disciple. Now, just because you have a hunting license doesn't make you a true hunter, does it? I mean, I think we'd all agree. I'm a perfect example. I've never shot a deer in my life, but I've gone hunting for them. I don't go out often enough. I don't have the right gear. I don't scout out the place. I don't always air out my clothes. And I don't know all the tricks and the tools and the right place to go. I don't spend a lot of time in it. I have a license often. You'd look at me and say, you're not really a hunter. You like to get out in the woods. And so, yeah, I do. But I'm not a true hunter. I know technically I'm a hunter if I'm looking for something, but really, we would say you're not a real hunter. Now, just because you're saved though technically you are a disciple if you're saved, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a true disciple. Just because you're saved, just like me, I got a license, but I don't really do much with it. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. What makes you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, what does he say? That you bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. So we've got to look at ourselves. It's not, oh, well, Brother Al, he needs to hear this today. I've been watching him, and, you know, he could use some more fruit bearing. That's not what we're doing. Let's look at ourselves. What's going on in our own lives? Do you see the fruit? Is there fruit being born, being produced, better word? Okay, so we've talked about the illustration. We looked at the instruction Christ gave. We saw the invocation. There was the increase that he talked about. Increase of the fruit. You'll glorify the Lord. So shall you be my disciples. Last, it's just the conclusion. The implications. Just summarize what we just said. And I've already summarized it once, but what do we need to do? Abide in Christ. How do we do that? Read your Bible. That's important. Oh, it's so important. So important. Don't minimize reading your Bible. Pray. That's important. 1 Peter 3:8. I believe it was verse 8. 7 or 8 is right in there. He talks about, finally, brethren, the end of all things is at hand. We need to be sober. Hope to the end. He tells us that we need to watch unto prayer. The word watch literally means don't be intoxicated with alcohol. Don't be intoxicated with alcohol. If you're intoxicated with alcohol, you don't have your mental controls, right? So if we take the opposite of that, we need to have our wits about us. We need to have our control of our minds unto prayer. That's hard sometimes, huh? Sitting down and praying, and you want to think about everything else. You want to think about what I got to do today, or I don't know what it is. It's hard. But we need to gird up the loins of our mind. I won't get into all of that. But that means we need to get ready to do some work. And he says we need to watch into prayer, he tells us. Read your Bible. Pray. Very important. Again, that's not enough. Those are really important, but not enough. Essential, but not everything. We need to walk in the Spirit. Make sure you're saved. If there's any doubt, settle it. God will give you assurance through his word. We need to be saved. We need to be seeking. That's the desire. That's the wanter. That's the heart. Sometimes it says we need to go away, get away from things. Like, remember Moses? He pitched the tent without the camp. They had to go without the camp, get away from everything else, go out to seek the Lord. Sometimes we have to go do that. And number three, serving. Are we obeying? Are we doing what God shows us? That's how we abide in Christ. So, abide in Christ. What are the results? God will answer your prayers. That's great. God will answer your prayers. There's a promise. And you'll be a true disciple of Christ. And lastly, you will glorify the Lord. So, if we're going to glorify the Lord, that's our purpose, we have to be producing fruit. So, what are you producing today? What am I producing? Lord, we thank you for your word and this opportunity to speak. And we thank you that you are so concerned with us and you care about us, even though we're not faithful to instruct us and to prod us and to convict us and to teach us and to change us. Father, we need you. We pray you'd have mercy upon us. Help us all to make a choice that we are going to abide in you and that your words will abide in us. Help us to be faithful for your sake. We thank you. We love you. We pray you'd bless our service as we seek to honor and glorify you by it, that you would be the center of it all. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.